live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, figures have emerged showing that Impost has received 109 exit requests from postmasters and postmistresses across the country, 13 from Donegal. However, the company is stressing there will be no compulsory post office closures in the county, but confirms a number of retirement requests have been received. The Ballybuffet and Stranorder Chamber of Commerce is pressing for more traffic management progress in the Twin Towns ahead of the new school term. And the SDLP leader has accused Mary Lou MacDonald of carrying out a handbrake turn on a border pole. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, figures have emerged showing that to date Impost has received 109 exit requests from postmasters and postmistresses across the country, 13 from Donegal. A protocol was agreed earlier this year between Impost and the IPU, which offers exit packages to those running the post office. However, the agreement means a new management structure will not be put in place and the post office will close. The 13 post offices identified in Donegal are Ballyliffin, Ballymagan, Bombeg, Burnfoot, Churchill, Culdav, Kilkenny, Dunaff, Dunfanaghy, Dunkaneely, Gortahork, Kindrum and Quigley's Point. Donegal Deputy Anne Lascan-Corlett, Pat the Cope Gallagher, says the protocol is totally anti-rural Ireland and has called on the government chief whip to take action.
I'll be in communication this morning with the Minister for Communications, Dennis Nocton, and the Minister for Rural Affairs, Michael Ring, about this. And when I look at the detail of the protocol, it's saying that as long as there's a post office within 15 kilometres of one in rural Ireland, then that's acceptable. And if there's a population less than 500. But on the other hand, if you're in urban Ireland, they're talking about 3 to 5 kilometres. So it's totally anti-rural Ireland. And of course, I'm extremely disappointed when good announcements are to be made and positive announcements are to be made. The Chief Whip and Minister McHugh make these announcements, and if others make positive announcements, there's almost an inquiry. So it's time for Minister McHugh to stand up, wear the Donegal jersey, and if, as he says, he's at the government meeting every week, it's time to put the Donegal to the fore.
Is it your belief that some of these can be reversed? We know, for instance, Dunkaneely are talking very much about a public meeting next week to discuss their future. We know that Churchill is going at the end of next week. We're told Ballymagan and Quigley's Point will be the next to go. Of the remaining 10, do you believe at least some of those can be saved?
I don't believe that I or any public representative can dine a la carte and pick and choose. It's a matter for the postmasters to decide whether they would accept this package or not. They should have been given the opportunity to accept the package and to allow the post office to remain open. From the Impost point of view, they've got the support of the government. I think the ball is firmly now in the court of the government to review this.
Minister Joe McHugh was not available to speak to Highland Radio News today, but Donegal Fine Gael Councillor Tarn Slowey says the government is committed to supporting the post office network, and Minister McHugh will be actively striving to keep services in Donegal. He says Deputy Gallagher seems to have a selective memory.
Pat the Cope has a very selective memory. He's out one day of the week actually welcoming money that's been allocated by this government, actually essentially pretending that he's a member of this government. And the next day he's out then, when it suits him, taking a completely different approach. I mean, under the Fianna Fáil government, 13 post offices were closed in Donegal, and indeed 629 post offices were closed nationwide between 2002 and 2007. Of course everybody in Donegal is worried about their local post office. Of course we want to keep as many post offices open as we can, but this is not a government decision. However, that's not the end of the matter. There's a full protocol to go through in relation to this. Government have decided to try and strengthen the post office system by putting 50 million in to try and retain as many as we can.
But the counter-argument is that people were actively encouraged by a minister in a Fine Gael-led government to transfer their social welfare payments to bank accounts.
I would like to see everything being done by government that would strengthen the post office system and have as many payments made from there as possible. But people have that... not all people are able to get to their post office every week to get that money, and if they are set up to electronically receive it, then it is their right to opt for that, and government cannot prevent that. However, I think that there are a lot of there's a lot of push being made by Minister McHugh in relation to this issue, and he will continue to do so to ensure that as many post offices in Donegal are kept open as possible.
And Post is stressing that there will be no compulsory post office closures in Donegal, but confirms a number of retirement requests have been received. The company says it will need some time to assess the applications and look at where retirements can be facilitated. And Post says neither national nor county figures have been confirmed, and figures which are circulating are speculative and not from official sources. The statement confirms a small number of postmasters and postmistresses have asked to be allowed to retire with immediate effect, and they are being facilitated. SDLP leader Colm Eastwood has accused Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald of carrying out a handbrake turn on a border poll, describing a recent statement as another indication of Sinn Féin's infantile handling of the issue. The Foyle MLA says as the reality of Brexit draws nearer and clearer, the building of a new and agreed Ireland is becoming more attractive to many sections of society. Nicole Gernan has more.
In a statement, Foyle MLA and SDLP leader Colm Eastwood said, unlike Sinn Féin, his party have always understood that the cause of bringing about reunification will require more thought and commitment than a mere press release every few months without engagement or the appropriate context to do so. He added that it was disappointing to see Sinn Féin move away from this welcomed approach a mere 24 hours later. Yesterday, DUP leader Arlene Foster accused Mary Lou MacDonald of prioritising a border poll over the return of an executive at Stormont.
Responding, Senator Padraig McLaughlin accused Colm Eastwood of misrepresenting the Sinn Féin position, and the party has stressed this is not the time for a border poll debate. He says Sinn Féin remains committed to the idea of a referendum on unity, and says the party believes it can persuade people it makes economic sense.
The experience of Brexit has demonstrated again the lunacy of partition of this island, where you have a situation where voters in England can force an agenda, in this case leaving the European Union. But leaving all that aside, the economic common sense of having one health system, one education system, one economy on this small island has never been more clear. We're very confident of our analysis, and we're looking forward to debating that.
You were present yesterday in Derry when Mary Lou MacDonald was there, met with civic and political leaders from both Derry and Donegal.
Sean Kelpie, the chief executive of Derry City and Strabane District Council, put forward a brilliant presentation. It was a joint presentation on behalf of Donegal County Council and other civic leaders too, and it talked about the Northwest city region in terms of infrastructure, education, health infrastructure. But again, you know, Brexit is a huge threat to all of that, and we need to work together in this region to fight against the threat of Brexit.
The suggestions are that Leo Varadkar is making eyes at Mary Lou MacDonald across the table. Could we potentially see Sinn Féin in government sooner rather than later?
We really truly want to be in government all across this island. I don't want to be sitting across looking in. You know, I believe in our policies, and we've made it clear that the only issue that stops Sinn Féin going into coalition with another political party is the programme for government. What can we deliver for the people of Ireland? The only people that have talked about Sinn Féin not being in government have been Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and I don't think the people actually believe them when they say that.
Meanwhile, the EU's chief Brexit negotiator says he remains confident negotiations can reach a good outcome. Michel Barnier says the EU is willing to improve the tax on the Irish border in order to secure a withdrawal agreement. In a statement on the European Commission website, he acknowledged the biggest risk of Brexit is on the island of Ireland. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald says Britain cannot be rewarded for what she says are delaying tactics.
We have on the table from the European side a position and a backstop that does protect the Good Friday Agreement, does ensure no hardening of the border, and a commitment to look at citizens' rights. And that's where things must stay. You know, the British should not be rewarded for their delay tactics.
The Ballybuffet and Stranorder Chamber of Commerce, while welcoming the ongoing progress of traffic management in the Twin Towns as roadworks continue, are pressing for further improvements on the Donegal Road as a new school term fast approaches. The Chamber says there has been significant improvements to traffic management in the locality over recent weeks, but traffic delays are still having an impact on local residents and businesses. Chamber Manager Leah Fairman says Donegal County Council and the TII and the contractors need to continue to coordinate the traffic management in preparation for the increase in traffic come September.
I think everybody's recognised that the council and the TII and the contractors are working hard and have listened to the feedback regarding the traffic management over the last 2 weeks. But we all know that clearly when the school traffic comes back into the town, it has the biggest effect, even on a normal day. We're confident that the council is aware of that, and I'm sure that they're making plans for it. And there has been great improvements, but the Donegal roadworks continue to cause problems at times. So we're just continuing to have that conversation with the council to make sure that we're on the front of it and we don't get caught on the hot in September.
And these roadworks are vital for the area, but it is about managing it and keeping disruption to a minimum for the local residents and the local businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And the businesses are really keen to stress that they appreciate the ongoing support of our local community in shopping local. We know that at times it can be a problem with the traffic management, but there has been huge improvements over the last 2 weeks. And it is easier and much easier to get through the towns, and they're continuing to offer the same great products and services, and there's some great things happening in the towns over the summer months, and especially in August with Heritage Week and various events. So businesses would just really like to stress that, you know, we're open for business, and we're continuing to work with the community, recognising the challenges that they have, but thanking them for their ongoing support.
Gardaí in Donegal are investigating a report of an alleged assault on a female in the Milford area earlier this week. It's believed the woman was assaulted on Monday last at about 3:30 a.m. A medical negligence lister says the direction the investigation into the cervical check scandal is taking is confusing. The Taoiseach announced yesterday that he wants a public inquiry to take place and appointed a judge to come up with alternatives to court proceedings if mediation is unsuccessful. A scoping inquiry is also underway. Solicitor Kiva Hohe says the situation lacks clarity.
I'm just a little bit confused in terms of the direction that we're going in. We know that there's 221 women. That's the figure we hear all the time. I know two of my clients are part of that cohort. But are there other people who are not in that cohort who are potentially affected? So are they going to be invited to the scope inquiry? Will they be included in that? Will they be part of the commission of inquiry? Will they be part of the process that is now being intended with Mr. Justice Meenan?
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the big annual birthday sale is now on until Sunday.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time's the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Dundalk are in big trouble in their Europa League second qualifying round. Second leg at AEK Larnaca. The Lilywhites are 2-0 down against the Cypriot Cup winners. Also 2-0 down on aggregate. That's just approaching half time. Tatey and Ivan Trotsky have scored the goals for Larnaca. Austria's Storm Graz await the winners in round three. So trouble for Stephen Kenny's team there. Elsewhere in that Europa League this evening, Burnley and Aberdeen, they're all square going into their second leg of their tie at Turf Moor. The Premier League side have a slight advantage of an away goal after a 1-1 draw at Pataudry last week. Rangers, they lead Croatian side Osijek 1-0, while Hibs, they're 3-2 up before kicking off in Greece against Astaris Tripolis. Back at home, some other news in League of Ireland action. Niall Logue has, Van Harps have confirmed, joined them on loan this afternoon. Niall Logue has been signed on loan from Derry City following receipt of clearance from the FAA. In other news, Derry City have also announced the signing of Scottish fullback Kevin McHattie. McHattie has been capped by Scotland at under 21 level. He joins the club from Raith Rovers. And UCD have completed the signing of former Republic of Ireland underage forward Connor Davis, who returns home after 4 years at Reading. The students will hope he'll fill the gap left by top scorer Georgie Kelly, who joined Dundalk. Cross-channel Chelsea midfielder Willian says he's taken legal action after someone forged or misused his signature. A letter appears to show the Brazilian authorising a change of agent, but he's posted online to say it's fake and he never signed the letter. Chelsea have rejected several bids from Barcelona for Willian this summer and he's been linked with a number of other clubs. And Chelsea have signed Cheick Coetti from fellow Premier League side West Ham. The Senegal international moves to Selhurst Park on a four-year contract for an undisclosed fee. The midfielder scored 12 goals in 129 top-flight appearances for West Ham. And the FA are to offer England manager Gareth Southgate a new contract. His current deal runs until 2020, but the governing body are keen for the former under-21 boss to stay on. Southgate, too, has hinted that he'd like to return to club management in the future, led England to the World Cup semi-finals in Russia. In other soccer news, there's action on the field tonight in the North West Women's Super League. The leaders, Ellis Celtic, they host Greencastle. Bonagie, they play Fannett United. And Cairn Donagh play Moville. All those games kick off at 7:30. In Gaelic games, Cathal McShane says the Tyrone players are excited about the task at hand as they look to beat Donegal and Ballybofey this Sunday. The neighbours meet to decide who will play in the All-Ireland semi-final 7 days later. The banter in the McShane household has been bigger than ever given his relations in Tory Island and Falkirk in Donegal. Cathal says everyone is excited about the biggest game of the year so far.
Everybody's looking forward to it. I know obviously the Tyrone team, we're all looking forward to it now, and we're just excited for it really. But I know living close to the border, there's always that bit of banter between having relations down in Donegal and all the rest. But I was just happened to be chatting a few cousins and all the last day, and they're all excited, looking forward to going to the game. So it will be they'll be going to it confident as well. But no, just really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a ferocious atmosphere and a ferocious contest, and a very hostile crowd up in Ballybofey.
I hear it's sold out and tickets are scarce. So it's going to be probably similar to Hayley Park last week. The atmosphere was really good there as well. But that there will work for us, work against us, I suppose. But I think we're sort of used to that now. We've played against maybe a couple of big large crowds. Getting to Croke Park was good there, and then obviously in Hayley Park. So I think the big crowd on Sunday would really play much of a part. If we can sort of just use that to our side, get the Tyrone fans down there and get them supporting us, then that'll be good for us.
Cathal McShane there, Donegal against Tyrone, 3:30 on Sunday up in McCool Park. We'll have coverage here on Sunday Sport. Elsewhere, Roscommon have made sweeping changes for their trip to Dublin in their last game of the Super 8s on Sunday. James Featherstone will start in goal. Peter Dominican, Dara Petty and Ross Timothy, they're brought into the defence. Enda Smith and Tag O'Rourke have been paired in midfield, and Kieran Lennon in its corner forward. Manager Kevin McStay, he's serving a 12-week suspension. Jair Dowd and Liam McHale will take charge of that game in Croke Park. In golf, the World Golf Championships, the Bridgestone Invitational, is taking place this week. The early leader's Kyle Stanley. He's 6-under through 10 holes. Rory McIlroy, he's made a good start as well. He's 2-under through 9. Paul Dunne, he tees off a little later. Tiger Woods is also on the course. He's 2-under through 8 holes. The Barracuda Championship's been run in connection with that, in conjunction with that event. It's taking place in Reno in Nevada. Ollie Snyderlands, he leads the way. It's a Stableford event this week. He's got 6 points through his first 5 holes. Seamus Power's got 4 points for his first 7. Shane Lowry, Patrick Harrington and Graham McDowell all tee off later on. The Ricoh Women's British Open's taking place this week in Lytham and St Anne's. It's the first round action. Minji Lee from New Zealand, she leads the way on 8-under par through 16 holes. Mimiko Higa is 6-under through 14. She's from Japan. And England's Georgia Hall's 5-under through 16. Another piece of golf news, a proposed $10 million exhibition game between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson looks set to go ahead in November. ESPN has reported that the long-rumoured 18-hole match play round between the former Ryder Cup teammates will take place in Las Vegas on the weekend of November the 25th. Mickelson previously hinted that the $10 million pot would be provided by sponsors. In cycling, Cathal Gallagher of the Errigal Cycling Club has been named on the Irish National Cycling Team for the World Youth Tour in Austria. The young Glen Swilly man will travel on the 20th of August for 5 days of racing. The team is made up of 6 riders from around the country. In hockey, the Irish hockey team will be hoping to continue the remarkable World Cup campaign this evening. Spain await the winners for this historic quarter-final against India in London. Ireland beat the same opponents last week to top their group and secure their place in the the last eight for the very first time. Tip-off on that one is shortly at 6 o'clock. And Rowan Cork brothers Gary and Paul Donovan have booked their place in the lightweight men's double sculls finals at the European Rowing Championships. The Olympic silver medalists comfortably won their heat by almost 2 seconds in Glasgow. They'll be back on the water on Saturday. Mark O'Donovan and Shane O'Driscoll are also into the men's pairs semi-finals after coming through the repechage after being fourth in their heat. Finally for this evening, in horse racing, the Willie Mullins trained Sharjah has carried top weight to win today's feature at the Galway races, the Guinness Galway Hurdle. The 12-1 shot battle past Blazer in the closing stages in Ballybrit with Leon Cavallo and Bedrock completing the places. Jockey Patrick Mullins said it was a dream come true to have taken victory in that big race. And Davy Russell, he steered Rashan to victory in the Grade 3 Open Gate Brewery novice chase, while Yulong Gold Ferry justified 13-8 favouritism to land the listed filly stake for trainer Dermot Weld. And Wild Illusion has won today's feature race at Goodwood, the Qatar Nassau Stakes, trained by Charlie Appleby and ridden by William Buck. She showed good stamina in the closing stages to win by 2 lengths ahead of Urban Fox. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Ryanair is cancelling 20 flights on the 10th of August after Irish-based pilots announced a fifth strike day in an escalation of the dispute. The industrial action over working conditions will coincide with strikes in Belgium and Sweden on the same date. German and Dutch pilots are also threatening to walk off the job. Ryanair says Forza has rejected offers to meet the airline and has again blamed the involvement of Aer Lingus pilots in the union for the standoff. And finally, in news, a homecoming will take place at Market Square in Letterkenny this evening at 6:30 for Jason Black, the mountaineer and athlete who last week became only the second Irishman to climb K2 and the first to return home. 10 years ago today, Limerick mountaineer Ger O'Donnell died while descending the mountain, having successfully reached the summit. Jason Black says he will now use his success to reinforce the message in schools and elsewhere that all goals are achievable and people should never be afraid to seize opportunities and get the most out of life. He says he's looking forward to tonight's celebrations.
Just wonderful being home, being in the community that I grew up in and just being received back into the community. And today we've a homecoming and I'm just so privileged to be accepted into the community the way that I am, and such a heartwarming feeling, you know, and I can't wait to meet everybody this evening, 6:30 in the Market Square. It's just incredible. And yeah, look, standing on top of K2 last week, and you know, the greatest mountain in the world, the toughest mountain in the world, and just being a Donegal man, and so proud. It's pretty hard to put into words.
The message that you sent from the top, and it's a message obviously that was broadcast on Highland and elsewhere, people will have heard it over the past number of days.
Yeah.
The emotion that was in your voice was so clear, so palpable.
Oh, it was incredible. You know, I dedicated the climb to my 4 children and indeed to the children of my county and community. That don't be afraid of life. Don't be afraid of setting goals. Never, ever be afraid of living life to the max. You go get what you want in life. Yes, life's full of obstacles. It's got 100 reasons why you should turn around, but you should never give in. My climb on K2 was a prime example of it. I walked away from it in 2015. My dream in life was to summit K2. And, you know, 3 years later to be able to pull it off, it was down to that dedication, commitment, self-belief, and removing obstacles, removing the negative energy and putting positive energy in front. And that's really what life's about. Life's worth living.
For weather now, cloudy this evening with outbreaks of rain and drizzle spreading from the west. The rain will be heavy at times and tonight will be mostly cloudy with a little patchy light rain or drizzle and lowest temperatures of 15 to 17 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, figures have emerged showing that to date AmPost has received 109 exit requests from postmasters and postmistresses across the country, 13 from Donegal. A protocol was agreed earlier this year between AmPost and the IPU, which offers exit packages to those running the post office. However, the agreement means a new management structure will not be put in place and the post office will close. The Ballybuffet and Stranorder Chamber of Commerce, while welcoming the ongoing progress of traffic management in the Twin Towns as roadworks continue, are pressing for further improvements on the Donegal Road as the new school term fast approaches. Gardaí in Donegal are investigating a report of an alleged assault on a female in the Milford area earlier this week. It's believed the woman was assaulted on Monday last at about 3:30 a.m. And a homecoming will take place at Market Square in Letterkenny this evening at 6:30 for Jason Black, the mountaineer and athlete who last week became only the second Irishman to climb K2 and the first to return home. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, August the 2nd. The death has occurred of Mary McLafferty, Nae McFadden, Rocktown Fulcara and formerly Casey Dunfanaghy. Removal from the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, going to St Finian's Church Fulcara to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Finian's Church Fulcara, with burial afterwards in Holy Cross Cemetery, Dunfanaghy. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to Alzheimer's Society, give any family member or McLafferty funeral directors. The death has taken place of Mariah Eyre, née Johnston, Walsh Island, Gaeshill, County Offaly and formerly of Coponey, Donegal. Her ashes will repose at the family home in Coponey tomorrow and on Saturday. Funeral service in Lahey Parish Church at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if so desired to Lahey Parish Church. The death has taken place of Daphne Mackey, née Bustard, Ballygray House, 2 Ballygray Hill Road, Londonderry. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral service in First Derry Presbyterian Church tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Monray Presbyterian Church Burial Ground. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to First Derry Presbyterian Church and Donegal Methodist Church, to care of W.J. O'Brien and son funeral directors. The death has occurred of Daniel Green, Mill Road, Dunloe. His remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahery Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place of Art McLaughlin, 29, Newton Kennedy Street, Strabane, and formerly off Burndennet. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Melmite Manor Residence Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.